You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, we're so glad Sienna Cypress downtown and Digital Family as well as The Loop all gathering together. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of James is where we're going to be. And then also grab your listening guide. You're going to need that later on in the message to fill out some things and to look at some stuff there. So James chapter 1 is where we are. And we've been talking about trials, going through trials. And then we've been using a series. Our series title is Building Blocks. We've been using Legos. That God is going to connect things in the midst of our trials, that we're going to have to walk through it with joy. Not that we're excited about the trial, but God's doing something in it. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Endurance will be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives generously without reproach. Don't ask doubting because you'll be tossed about like the sea and the waves. And then humility we talked about last week, walking with humility. And so these connections of all these building blocks. And then what James is going to do is he's going to take these talks about trial and he's going to move in talking about temptation. And personally, I've never really seen it like that. I always kind of just saw trials and then temptations, but they're intertwined, we'll see in just a bit. So we're moving from trials to temptations. And I found this little video that is so cute. If you do not smile, you need to kind of check your pulse later on, okay? It is absolutely adorable on temptation, about being tempted. Let's see if we can relate with this little video here about temptation.
Look at me. You can have fruit snacks, but you can't have them right now, okay?
You gotta wait.
You gotta wait. Until mommy and daddy come back, okay? You can't eat these yet. You gotta wait until we come back. I'm gonna leave them right here. Don't touch them. Wait, okay? We're gonna come back. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat them. We'll be right back. We just gotta go get something. Just go. Just wait a second.
Isn't that great? Oh, man, that's worth coming to church just to see that. The little guy doing that and his little diapers and Levi hat and all that. So good. But, man, we can relate, can't we? Something gets out there in front of us and we just want it. We just want to grab it. We just kind of, nobody will know. And I don't want to wait on this. Well, James is going to tie together temptations and trials. Trials and temptations. And I want to give you the bookends of what this whole thing is. Just for a second, I want you to look at verse 12, and then we're going to look at verse 15. Now, we're going to go through all of those, but verse 12 and verse 15, and here's what it says. Blessed is the one who endures trials. I told you last week, James is very influenced by the Sermon on the Mount, so we see kind of the Beatitudes coming out here. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life. That's a victor's crown, not a king's crown, but a victor's crown that is promised to all who love him. Now jump to the bookend of chapter 15 or verse 15. Then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Okay, that's our bookends. Here's what happens is we've got here on this side. He says, if you'll go through trials and you'll make it through and you won't succumb to the temptation, you're going to have a crown of life. You're going to experience life. It's going to be good for you. You're going to be actually blessed in going through this. I mean, you enjoy it, but God's going to take you through it. Or if we succumb to the temptations, which we'll get to in a minute, then there's going to be death, spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, it tells us in Romans, a separation and different a relational death in that of between maybe loved ones as well. But this sin always divides. So our bookends, are we going to choose life or are we going to choose death? We're going to choose connecting. We're going to choose crashing. What are we going to choose? Now, of course, we want to choose life. We want to choose connecting in all those ways. So now I want you to look, same verse of scripture. Now you got the bookends. Let's look and see here further. Blessed is the one who endures trials because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that is promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God. Since God is not tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Or we could use the word lust would be a synonym. Verse 15, then after that lust or desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. There's a progression. Verse 16, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. So here we have in this power passage of scripture, he's given us trials and he's given us temptations. Here's what I want you to know. In Christ's power, he's calling us to endure the trial and flee the temptation. In Christ's power, notice that I didn't say in your willpower. I didn't say in your smarts. I didn't say in your experience. I didn't say because your personality is a little more positive than other people. In Christ's power, we're going to endure the trial, and we're going to flee the temptation. So we've been talking about trials, and then now he's going to get to temptations. These are intertwined. Now, let me give you how they're intertwined, a little definition here. Trials come from outside of us. Something happens at the office. Something happens in the family. Something happens in a friendship. Something happens in our economy, in our nation, in our world, whatever it is. There's trials that come from the outside. We're all going to experience trials. Just part of life. It's not fun. Nobody likes it. I don't like it either. But we experience those trials and we got to go through it. It's something from the outside. Temptation comes from the inside of us. You see? It comes from the desire, and that desire produces, we get deceived, and then that deception produces disobedience, and that disobedience, death. It doesn't come from God. That's what he's establishing here in verse 13. Because see, what these people thought, it was Jewish Christians in the day, they were being persecuted, and they thought, well, if God's allowing the trials and we're being tempted, God must be bringing the temptation. God's not bringing the temptation. He's never going to try to trick you into sinning. He's going to build you with the trials. He's going to build me with the trials, but he's never wanting to kind of trick us into sinning. And the temptation is not from God. It comes from our own desires that get birth to that lust, that get birth to that disobedience. So trials come from outside of us. Temptation comes from inside of us, not God. Now that's important to understand because we have, for all of human history, we've been trying to blame God for the things that we do disobedient to God. Adam, you gave me Eve. Eve, well, the serpent told me the apple was good, right? We're doing that. Moses goes up onto the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments. He comes back and Aaron says, well, why were you gone so long? If you weren't gone so long, we wouldn't have had the golden calf, right? We're always blaming. So here's what we could hear in our world, in our society. We could say it with our own minds. God made me this way. God gave me this tendency. Well, if God didn't want me to blow up with a bad aspect of anger, then why did he give me this tendency towards anger? Well, there's a temptation that's there that we've got to say, no, we're going to flee that temptation. God does not want us to sin, so he's not trying to bait us to sin. That's what temptation is, right? It says further in the scripture that you're enticed, that you're lured. That's not what he's doing. So the trials outside of us, the temptations inside of us. And here's what I want to put together. Our trials often can lead to our temptations. Our trials can lead to our temptations. That's why James is putting this together. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. When does Satan show up? He shows up and says, aren't you hungry? The trial is bringing that temptation to be able to get out of the trial. What happens in our lives, your life and my life as well, is that our trials lead to temptations. Hard times offer temptations to escape. So what happens is we're hurting. We're going through something difficult and we just want out. And if the temptation will get us out, we'll take that temptation. And so the enemy, the devil comes in right in between that trial that God's trying to make us stronger in him. And then the enemy slips in and he says, oh, but wouldn't it be great to eat from that tree? Oh, wouldn't it be great to have that moment? And he slips in with that temptation and we end up in that place where we're trying to cope. We're trying to numb our pain. We're trying to regain a sense of control. And so he says, trials and temptations in the power of God, we've got to flee the temptation, but endure the trial. Now, let's just take a moment here for just a second. I'm going to give you seven things that are temptations for us. Now, I could list 700 things. You know that, right? There's just all over. But God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, with every temptation, God provides a way of escape so that you can endure under it, right? And so there's ways of escape from these things as well. So here's the heart I want to bring this to you with. So I've been praying about this. I've been in ministry now 30 years, and probably 30 years ago, I would have preached this like, quit it, with a scowl. I'm sharing this with you with a heart of compassion. Not necessarily condoning, not condoning. I'm not trying to condone. You'll see there's some sin things in there. There's just some not so good for us things. But I want you to know I come with a heart of compassion because I've seen the hurt that we experience in life that I did not know as a younger man how hard life is. And now I've sat and listened. I've preached the funerals. I've been a part of it. And now with my heart of compassion, when I look at some of these things and see some of the trials that we all go through, I go, I get it. I understand why you would do that. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean I'm condoning it. But I get it. If that happened to me, I probably would react like that too. And so I want to give you seven things. And then at the end, we're going to have a time that I'm going to give you 30 seconds of just quiet in the church that you can think about which one gets you. I'm going to tell you which one gets me. I'm going to tell you my tendency. Which one is the one that you have the tendency to? So they're written on your listening guide. We're going to put it on the screen as well, but let's just work through them one by one. When we encounter trials, then temptations come. Number one temptation is escapism. This one's mine. When I go through a difficult time, I can watch a whole lot of TV and just try to escape. Oh, a trip feels great when I can travel and just get away. Now, are those necessarily bad? Not necessarily bad, but if they're escaping me dealing with God and ministering to my heart, then that could be a bad thing for me. I went through a difficult time. I found this. I would take my phone and every night I would sit in bed and I would play 30 minutes of solitaire on my phone. Why? Because all of the trouble out here, I got to just look right here. I could not win in that moment. There was no way to win. But I could win on this. And when those little cards went boop, 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 it felt great. Now, solitaire sin? No, I'm not saying that. But if I'm trying to escape God doing something in my heart, I can escape into those things. It can be excessive TV. It can be excessive travel. It can be excessive video games or excessive social media or excessive sleeping that you're just sleeping all the time. It can be excessive working out. It can be all sorts of things. But the escape from the pain. Number two, substance abuse, drinking, drugs, prescription drugs, vaping, smoking, all these things. Escapes, substance abuse. Number three, food. We can begin to just eat and eat and eat and eat. We call it comfort food, don't we? Comfort food, there's nothing better than a big old gallon of Bluebell and TV, right? I mean, just your worries go away at that moment, right? I remember I had a friend, they were going through a difficult time and one of their friends asked them, they said, well, what, like, have you been working out? Have you been, you know, what have you been eating? And the wife said this, we've been eating our emotions. We're just eating our emotions. So it could be overeating, but it could also be undereating. I'm going to gain control in my life by controlling my calories, by controlling my weight, by controlling what's going in. So it could be either way. It could be either way. Food. Now, are we to eat? Of course we're to eat. Has God given us food? Of course he's given us food. Is this like I'm telling you, don't eat? No, I'm not saying. I'm just giving us one of the things that's a temptation when we go in these hard times that some people grab to have that. Work. Overworking or underworking. If home's not going well, it's real easy to just stay at the office. If things are painful, let's just open up our laptops. Let's get a few more emails done. Let's look at a couple more spreadsheets. Do we work? Yes, we should work. Should we work hard? Absolutely work hard. Are you going to have to work more than 40 hours a week? Yes, you are at times. No doubt about it. But there could be overworking that we're hiding from something and dealing from something by hiding at the office. But there can also be underworking. We just can't get out of bed and you can't make it there anymore. And it gets worse and worse and you're not showing up on time and on it goes, right? Purchasing. We have a cute phrase for it. We call it retail therapy is what we call it, right? One more package, one more trip to the mall, one more thing to buy, one more click on the internet, one more outfit, one more this, one more that. If I could just buy something, it'll just make the pain go away. If I could just get one more thing, it'll just help one more way. And then you end up with maybe you and your spouse get sideways because of this, or you end up where you're spending too much money. Now you got another problem and on it goes. And we end up with this retail therapy that they call now that it's a dopamine hit. They say a dopamine release when we get that package, when we make that click, when we wait for that to come. It's a sense of control that I can control what's coming to my door. Can't control what's coming to my door in trials, but I can control what Amazon's bringing to my door. And so retail therapy, number six, online gambling and pornography. It's been said by one commentator, when a man knocks on the door of the brothel, he is knocking for God. We're looking for something. We're needing something. God has given us sex within marriage as a great, great gift. What sin is a legitimate need met in an illegitimate way. We need intimacy to continue the human race. It's a part of marriage. It's a blessing. It's all those things. But that's not what pornography is. And I could give you all sorts of stats, and folks struggle with that in this very room, and it's very pervasive, and we know that. Online gambling. Do you know that in 2018, the Supreme Court made a decision to legalize sports betting across states, and now 38 states, including Washington, D.C., legalized sports betting. And from 2019 to 2024, 5 years, 2019 to 2024, the betting industry has gone from $13 billion. You know how much $1 billion is to begin with? From $13 billion, and in 5 years, it's now $135 billion industry. I'm a sports fan. You know I'm a sports fan. I love watching sports. It's a blessing. The only commercials on for sports now are beer, betting, and buffalo wings. That's the only thing that we got on sports now. Had a guy after the first service come up to me with tears in his eyes and say, thank you for saying that. I've been in Gamblers Anonymous for 120 days, and it's been wrecking my marriage and wrecking my home, and I'm getting victory in the Lord over this. Thank you for saying it. I don't know why God put it on there for me. It's a weird thing for me to bring out. Felt like I should, and I did, and at least one guy. Let me just say very quickly and very with all the compassion in the world, anybody can struggle with this, but young men, I want you to know, pornography and online gambling, Satan has got a bullet coming right at you. Crosshair, I should say, right at you. He's after it on this with young men in particular. And I just want to tell you, young men, this is not how you build a home based on pornography and gambling to be the leader and the husband and the father one day that you want to be. This is not the foundation you build on. With compassion, I say that. We'll help you. We'll help you. We will help you. Number seven, self-harm. They call it NSSI. That was a new acronym to me, non-suicidal self-injury. And that many people are struggling with this, that to cope with the pain in their life, they're harming themselves. 5% of adults and 17% of adolescents, many of them young girls, seems to be the target of this. And I just want you to hear me with all the love and compassion in my heart. You are loved. You are beautifully made. God has given you your body as a temple of God. And that temporary pain that you're trying to inflict upon yourself, take it to the cross where Jesus took the pain. Jesus took the nails. Jesus paid the price to be the forgiveness of our sins. And so self-harm. So I've given you seven, and I know there's 700, and I've tried to give it to you with the most compassionate heart I could possibly give it, because the Bible tells us we need to shed light on the devil's schemes. And if the church isn't going to shed light on the devil's schemes, who's going to shed light on the devil's schemes? The rest of it's deception that happens. There's a singer named Noah Kahan, very silent H, I've been told many times, Kahan. Those under 30 know exactly who I'm talking about. Those over 30 never heard of this guy, okay? So those under 30 are like, Pastor Greg, you're kind of with it. This is interesting. Okay, let's see what song you're going to quote. Would it be Orange Juice? See, I know that one too. I know a few of them. So it's the song Growing Sideways. And I want you to listen to these seven things coming out in this guy's song. It's Growing Sideways. We'll put it on the screen, the part I'm going to quote. I divvied up my anger into 30 separate parts. I kept the bad stuff in my liver, drinking, and the rest around my heart. I'm still angry at my parents for what their parents did to them. I spent my savings at a Lulu, and now I'm suffering in style. Retail therapy. But it's a start, I'm trying something. But I ignore things. I move sideways, escapism, until I forget what I felt in the first place. temptation to numb our pain outside of the Lord. Do you see that in the song? It's a powerful song. It's got a cuss word in it. So when you listen to it, go, Pastor Greg, I'm just telling. Okay. Right there in song. Mine's escapism. I'll just run and hide. I'll just fill my time with something that'll numb the pain. What's yours? Take a moment. I want you to take 30 seconds. You can write it in your listening guide. You can add something. You can say, for me, it's anger, maybe. It's something not on the list. And you just use anger and power to get your way and to numb your pain. What is it? Write it down. If you don't want your neighbor to know what you're writing down, they won't look, but you can put some kind of code and then scratch it out right after, okay? But 30 seconds. Can we take 30 seconds to shed light on the devil's schemes? Look at your listening guide. Look at your listening guide. We've got them listed out there. And take 30 seconds, beginning right now. Ten seconds. It's good for us to shed light on the devil's schemes, isn't it? To just know what our tendencies are. So when we start drifting that way, we could say, time out, time out. And now that I've taken all our things and coping mechanisms away, let me just give you real quickly just three things, and we'll get to a whole lot more, but physically, just get active, get active. If you don't want to join a gym, just get on YouTube and say, I'm stressed out and need exercise. Some video will come up, I promise, right? Number two, spiritually, physically is that. Spiritually, grab a Bible, grab a pen, grab a journal, get on your knees in prayer, and pour out your heart before God. And number three, emotionally, talk to a friend or a trusted counselor or a trusted friend and just be able to just give your heart out. So physically, emotionally, and of course, spiritually. Now let's look, if we can, let's dig in one more notch on temptation. How do we get through this thing of temptation? Let's look at temptation in verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed, remember that, by his own evil desire. Then after the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. So here's what he's going to give us. He's going to give us the Jenga blocks of temptation. You know what Jenga is? Let me show you what Jenga is if you don't know what Jenga is. Jenga is the game that's got these blocks here, and you begin to take things away until finally it crashes. So the first thing he says is there's desire. We begin to want those fruit snacks. And in wanting those fruit snacks, we just begin to kind of play with fire a little bit. But it's no big deal. There's some loose pieces in the puzzle. There's some things we can get. It won't hurt us a bit. And then we begin to look and to see and to say, well, you know what? That desire turns in to deception. And the deception happens in my life now. And that's where it said that you're lured away and you're enticed. It's actually language of like a hunter or a fisherman. Enticed, that the bait is hiding the hook. Lured away. Come away, come away. And I'm going to get you over here. Then I'm going to put you in the trap. And so we begin to have desire now becomes deception. And we begin to be deceived. And as we're deceived, we just begin to pull more and more things out. And that deception then turns into disobedience. And now we're really playing with fire. As we begin to play with fire and looking at stuff, we start pulling on some things that maybe are really wedged in there. And if we start pulling on that, well, what's going to happen? And we start pulling on that desire and pulling on that deception and into that disobedience. And we just keep stacking more weight and more weight and more weight. And our life gets wobblier and wobblier. So we're just based on one little thing and it's moving along. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Is it going to make it? Is our disobedience going to make it? Are we going to have it happen? And we dodge another bullet. Until finally the deception and the desire and the disobedience begins to pull. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting nervous, too. I thought it was going to fall by now. Let's see what we can do here. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Just adding to my point, isn't it? Just adding to my point. All right. Let's see here. We're still working on it. Oh, my. Here we go. Further and further. Some point, the sermon's got to end at some point. We got to go to lunch. How are we going to do this? Oh, whoa! Until finally, desire to deception, to disobedience, to death. It falls. At some point, it falls. Now, here's what I want you to know. Legos are meant to connect and build something. Jengas are made to crash. Trials are to build things in our life. Temptations are meant to destroy us in our life. And so it gives birth to death, is what it says. The wages of sin is death. And so we have this choice, as I gave you in the very beginning, of Jenga or Lego. And here we see that we often just get lured into things and we don't see the consequences of sin. But I want you to know that Jesus came to bring us life. He paid the price. He was the death, right? On the cross, so that we could have life. Remember our bookends, to choose life or to choose death spiritually, to say, God, I want to choose life. So now what do we do? How do we do this? Here's what we do. Verse 17, if you look. Now here's the answer. We've been waiting for the good part. Here's the good part. Here's the payoff. Every good and perfect gift. Salvation's a gift. Jesus is a gift. From above, coming down, same Greek word of John chapter 3, verse 7, where Nicodemus is told to be born again, to be born from above, coming down from the Father of lights, not darkness, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's consistent. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So here we have the Lego blocks of God's goodness. The Lego blocks of God's goodness, the Jenga block of temptation, but the Legos of God's goodness. First one is this, trust that God gives good gifts. Trust that God gives good gifts. Even in the midst of the trial, we got to trust and say, there's power over temptation with the goodness of God. Think about Eve. She felt like God was holding out on her. Eve, you got all these trees. God's not holding out on you. He gives good gifts. But he's going to protect you from the wrong places. So enjoy these gifts of God. God gives good gifts. When we see the goodness of God, we don't succumb to the temptation. Number two, God is a consistent giver. Trust God is a consistent giver. That he's going to give us things. He's going to walk us through these things. That there's going to be aspects on the other side we couldn't even imagine. Doesn't mean we like it. Doesn't mean we want to go through it again. Doesn't mean we wish it upon our worst enemy. But when we go through the trial and we endure the trial and we flee the temptation and we run to God, he can build something in our lives and we can trust he's a consistent giver. And I know as I say that, some of you are like, well, I don't think so. He hasn't given me much. Take a breath. The oxygen you just got. The fact that you could hear even these words out of the Bible. God's given us all so many things so consistently. The problem is not, is God consistent? The problem is, are we too familiar with his goodness? That's the problem. Listen to a book right now, an autobiography of a man who was in Auschwitz. I'm very, very grateful having listened to that book. It's called The Happiest Man on Earth. That's what it's called. Crazy title. I'm almost finished with it. God's consistency can often lull us to sleep, if you will, that we don't appreciate his consistency. Last one, trust God gives with purpose. God gives with purpose. His gifts come with purpose. James says it here. He says, by his own choice, For God sent his one and only son. He sent Jesus for us. He gave us birth by the word of truth that we could be born again in Christ so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When James is saying this, it is, they're Jewish Christians that are being persecuted. And there's about 10,000 of them. Now there's billions of Christians. Why? Because James is like, guys, we're part of the first church. Guys, we're part of the early church. Gals, we're getting this. This is, we're the first fruits of this thing that's going to explode and crazy. There's going to be, James didn't say this, but he could have said, there's going to be this place called Houston, Texas. Texas? What is Texas? We don't know. What is America? We've never heard of it yet. It's coming though. And in Houston, Texas, at the beginning of February, somebody's going to stand up and talk about us to people that trust Jesus as well. First fruits of it happening. So I tell you this, trust in the Lego blocks of God's goodness. Trust that God gives good gifts and he gives them consistently. He's a consistent giver. Trust that God gives with purpose, that we have purpose in our lives. And also hear my heart with the greatest of compassion. I know exactly why we fall into those temptations to heal the pain that hurts so bad. But we have to turn to Christ, say, God, you're the ultimate healer. Do I need a vacation? Sure, have a vacation. Do you need to escape a bit? Absolutely, I understand that. But Christ, I need you to do a deep work in me, because if not, I'm going to live Jenga my whole life and I'm not going to live Legos my whole life. And I want to trust you that you're building something in my life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first building block of coming to know Jesus as your Savior. That's where it all begins. And for those of us that do, we got to trust him as we walk through these things. Let me close with giving you a last illustration. I've got here six Lego bricks is what they're called. So six of them. These are just the typical Lego brick. They've got eight little nodules on them. Those eight little bumps that they have there. So six Lego bricks with eight bumps on each one of them. And in the book, Toy Box Leadership, I've actually read this book. It's a good book. They take toys from your childhood and take leadership principles out of it. So they use Legos as one of them. And so Toy Box Leadership, the Lego company did a test. Out of six Lego blocks with eight nodules on them, how many different things could you make? How many different ways could you assemble this? Think about a number in your mind. You're going to get the wrong number, so I'm going to tell you in just a minute. How many combinations could be made with six, with eight? Now, me being the great mathematician, I go, well, 48, six times eight. There's obviously something else going on here math-wise that I'm not good at. 915,103,765 different arrangements can be made with six Lego blocks with eight nodules on it. 915 million plus. Here's what I want you to hear. God has unlimited ways to see you through the trial. He has unlimited ways to build you through it. And here's what it looks like. A believer in Christ, that's where it begins, trusting Jesus as Savior. A believer in Christ says, God, I don't want to go through it, but I'm going to consider it all joy, my brethren, when I encounter various trials, knowing the testing of my faith will produce endurance. You're going to build something, God. You're going to make these Legos. They're going to come together in some type of way. You're going to build something in this, and I'm going to trust in that, and I'm going to ask you for wisdom in that, and I'm going to walk humbly in that. I'm not going to rest in my wealth. I'm going to rest in my humility before you, and I'm going to be very careful, because I know in the midst of this pain, the enemy's going to send a temptation in that moment. And I'm going to flee that temptation. And I'm going to walk with you prayerfully, journaling, wise counsel, good friendships. And I'm going to connect. I'm not just going to crash like Jenga. I'm going to connect. And in that connection, what you will see, friend, is this. You will get to the end of that trial or through that trial or in the midst of that trial, however you want to phrase it. And you'll at some point, you'll say this. You're not going to believe what God did. Let me tell you the story of how God did this. So you're going to say, I'm broke. And we started praying and we were faithful to God. And we just said, God, we're just You're not going to believe what happened. I was praying about something at work and just hurting about it. I didn't know if I should go. I didn't know if I should stay. And God led me elsewhere. You're not going to believe how my next job worked out. It's the crazy. I met this guy who knew this guy who knew this. 915 million ways God can take you through it. But what do we have to do? We just got to trust in the goodness of God to see us through the trials and to help us, give us strength to flee the temptation. And what happens in that? He begins to build our life. He begins to build our life. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good. If David would have realized the goodness of God, he wouldn't have asked for Bathsheba to come up to his room. If Aaron would have realized the goodness of God, he wouldn't have made a golden calf. If Peter would have realized the goodness of God, he wouldn't have betrayed you around the fire pit that night before your death. If Thomas would have known the goodness of God, he'd have never doubted. And Father, so we come as your children, weak, weak children, saying, please let us understand and walk in the goodness of God. That's the power of fleeing temptation. You have something better for us than fruit snacks. And God, give us the strength as we walk through very heavy trials. I understand why I and my friends would choose the temptations that we do. It makes sense, but it doesn't heal our hearts, God. And so we turn to you and ask you to be the healer. Help us, God. Would you take just a moment? We'll wrap up. And just thank God for the goodness of God and his ability to have 915 million ways of figuring things out in our life. Thank God for that goodness. Secondly, did you just say, in Christ's power, not in your willpower, you're weak, I'm weak, in Christ's power, Lord, help me endure the trials and flee the temptations. We trust you, God. Work things out. There's trials right now in this room. Work them out. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.